fantastic.
Okay. The first question is, there were you quit an economic PhD program and then started to launch Nupedia and then Wiki. This means that did you get absolutely bored with academic life and find things and happenings much more exciting and important of the academy?
Yeah, I don't know about bored with. I got fed up with. It's a very political environment and very, a lot of committee meetings and things like that, which I didn't care for. So, I'm a very practical person. So, even though now I'm, travel the world and people ask me important questions, I always say I'm really a carpenter, not an architect. So I just I like doing things. So that's very important for me.
Where does the name Wikipedia come from? And relating to this, what is the story, the logic and the secret of Wiki software?
The
Wiki software.
The what logic and secret?
The logic.
Okay.
The story,
uh-huh.
Secret.
Yeah, okay. So the word wiki comes from a Hawaiian word, wiki-wiki. Wiki-wiki, which means quick in Hawaiian. So it's quick collaboration or quick editing. The basic idea of a wiki is it's a website that anyone can edit. So you just visit the website and you click edit and you make a change and you save and there it is. But the secret of it, or what really makes it work, is all of the features in the software which empower the community to monitor itself. So every change that's made on the website goes to a recent changes page, which is then monitored by dozens or hundreds of people. People can go to the discussion pages, they can talk to each other, they can meet each other. So all of that is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Who was the investor of this program?
The inventor.
Yeah.
The idea of a wiki was invented by a man named Ward Cunningham. And wikis existed from 1995. And so from 1995 until 2001, there were wikis out there, but they were pretty small, quiet little communities. And then I had the idea to apply the wiki to the idea of building an encyclopedia, and that's when it became really big.
How could you define Wikipedia at the present moment? I mean, what is the main idea mm-hmm. behind this wiki work?
So, okay. So Wikipedia is a freely licensed encyclopedia written by thousands of volunteers in many, many languages. So the important parts of that definition are freely licensed. So that means that people can take our work, you can copy it, you can modify it, you can redistribute it, you can redistribute modified versions. Those are the same four freedoms that you find in the free software movement. So we adopt very strongly from the ideas of the free software movement. It's an encyclopedia, so that means that in terms of the content, we try to be high quality, neutral, factual. People aren't supposed to just write poetry or fiction or things like that. We really stick to the encyclopedia. In many languages, so we have, right now we have over 70 languages that have at least 1,000 articles, and many, many active projects in many languages. So for example, the Hungarian Wikipedia has 17,000 articles and about 100 active contributors every month. About 50 of those are very active contributors, so it's a small community, but it's growing, and very successful considering the number of people who speak Hungarian is, I think, around 15 million. So it's a very
proportion.
Active, good proportion.
According to your opinion, what could be the motivation of a user to contribute to Wiki? And here I'm just not mean about amateurs, but academic scholars too,
mm-hmm.
to criticize.
Right. Yeah, so there's several different motivations that people have. A lot of people are really drawn to the big picture vision, which is to say, we have this fantastic tool, the internet, which most people, when we first heard of the internet, we said, oh, this is great, people can share knowledge all over the world. And then we went through the whole dot-com boom, and the internet seemed to be mostly about pop-up ads and porn and spam and so forth. This returns to the original roots of the idea of the internet. So a lot of academics are very excited about this idea of, you know, people who are involved in research and teaching and education love the idea of sharing knowledge freely. Another motivation for people like that is in academia, in the modern world, academics are pushed really strongly to specialize in one area. And so you become a math professor, but you're not just a math professor. You end up researching in one tiny, narrow subspecialty of math. But yet, intellectuals are still generally well-rounded intellectuals that still exist. So lots of people have intellectual passions that go far beyond what their narrow career choice is. And so it's very common at a Wikipedia meetup to meet some bearded old math professor who is writing articles about the history of World War II or something like this. So I think it's that ability to step outside what you normally are used to doing is a big appeal. And then there's also just the social appeal that Wikipedians by nature tend to be very friendly and helpful people who are very smart. And so it isn't perfect, I don't mean to say that, because we're humans. So, but usually if you go and you start working in Wikipedia, someone, an actual person, will come and greet you and thank you for your work. And you'll meet other people who are working in articles of the same area. And you may not agree with them on everything, but you can agree that everybody's trying to get some work done. So it's it's a fun hobby.
Yeah. But they don't need to be too smart because of the collectivism, because it's not a one smart guy model.
Right, yeah, that's right, yeah.
They could be not so intelligent just to begin an article and then some scholar come
and adds to it, I mean, the most important thing is the ability to respect that other people may know more than you do. And that applies even to the most intelligent scholar has to know that any one of us can only know a tiny fraction of what there is to know. And you never know when some amateur is going to have actually read something, especially when you're working not in your own field. The personality types that do well on Wikipedia are people who accept that, I'm not the smartest guy in the world necessarily. I'm intelligent and I have something to contribute, but I also want to learn from others. So that's it.
And what kind of mechanism could guarantee the quality of wiki articles?
Well,
invisible.
Right. Yeah, well, there is something like the invisible hand at work. You know, the fact that there is a community process that goes through a negotiation of what's in the articles, that really helps a lot. But of course, there is no guarantee. We haven't come upon any magic solution to the age-old problems of journalism, really. It's very similar to journalism. How do you ensure that reporters are reporting objectively? Well, there are things you can do, and there are techniques that journalists themselves should employ to make sure they're being fair. But there's no simple, perfect answer. But I think the peer review model is a good one for helping to ensure that quality.
Are you satisfied with the present level of inbuilt protection of the wiki against vandalism? So generally, what are the possibilities to fight against vandalism?
Yeah, it turns out that the problems that we face that I think are important are not related to vandalism per se. Vandalism happens, people come and vandalize articles, but it's pretty easy to catch and can be reverted. We sometimes have people who write programs to vandalize Wikipedia, and so far we've been able to block them fairly easily. For the most part, the problems that I think we do face are a little more subtle than that. I think sometimes the quality of the writing isn't as good as it should be, and there are various reasons for that. Sometimes on a controversial article, it ends up being a long listing of facts that are very carefully negotiated, so it's usually a fairly objective listing of facts, but at the end of the day, the problem is the article, it doesn't read like it was written by a professional writer. It reads like a strange collection of facts, and it doesn't have the beauty and poetry that good writing should have. So those are the kinds of problems that we really like to focus a lot of attention on, thinking about how do we improve the writing, how do we deal with that sort of thing.
Concerning to this, what does exactly this non-negotiable neutral point of view policy mean?
So the neutral point of view policy is something that we devised very early on that I came up with to be, it's primarily a social concept of cooperation. And we use that because we need to get our work done. And certain concepts like objectivity and truth are certainly important and are very important to really, I'd say, everyone working in the project. But they're not very helpful because obviously what I think is true and what you think is true may be different, and we can understand that those are different. So a good example of how this works really well is if you take some controversial issue like abortion, where the Catholic Church has one perspective and then other groups have a different perspective. Well, people may not be able to agree. You know, if you have a priest who's writing in an article who may not agree with some other person who's writing in the article, they may not agree on the fundamental issue, but they can agree to present it in a way that's fair, to say, this is what the Catholic Church has said, this is what these other people have said. And so that's what neutrality as a social policy means. It's a way of enabling people to work together. But there's no... we don't pretend or imagine that there's anything perfect about our solution to the problem. The problem of getting at truth is, of course, one of the fundamental philosophical debates through the ages, going back to Aristotle, and maybe we don't really have anything new to say about that, except that, well, if we can get lots of people to agree, at least we've got something useful as a starting point.
Another important policy is the principle of good faith. That means that we assume that most of the editors or users of Wikipedia would like to help, not harm, mm-hmm. the project. But let us see a thought experiment. Imagine that the majority of Wiki users, editors, have bad intentions, mm-hmm. and they want to mislead the others. Mm-hmm. Now, in these circumstances, what do you think that could Wiki be function properly and retaining its self-repairing capacity?
Yeah, I think in that situation, no, it wouldn't function. And I think that's one of the... For me personally, it's one of the exciting things that I feel like I've learned from the project, because when we first opened the Wiki, I thought, oh, okay, well, this will be fine to be completely open editing, but in a week or two, we're going to have to, you know, lock it down and not let certain people edit. Turns out, you can stay very, very open, because in reality, most people are just trying to do good. And it turns out that the number of people who are really malicious is quite small, and the number of reasonable people, even though they may disagree about various things, but they're still reasonable people who can try to do something helpful together, is much higher, and that's a wonderful thing to find out about humans.
That's conclusion.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There are good people.
There are good people. Yeah.
They are possible.
And yeah. And you know, it isn't perfect. I never claim that Wikipedia is perfect, but overwhelmingly, I think for most people, when you first hear the idea of, oh, it's an open encyclopedia, anyone can edit, I mean, it sounds insane, right? It must be all garbage. And then you read it and you say, oh, well, I see this problem, but actually it's pretty good. And that's really wonderful. So.
My analogy was in this thought experiment that there is the rules of justice, which John Rawls, the famous American mm-hmm. philosopher, says. And this means that these rules must work under the condition when all the people are bad.
Right.
Institutionally, uh-huh. it has the guarantee to work, but Wikipedia is not this kind of project.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I think if you have people with bad intentions, it just degenerates into arguments. I mean, it really takes people of good intentions, because suppose we find some issue and you and I disagree about it. If we have good intentions, we can say, okay, well, we're never going to agree, and we don't really worry about convincing each other. Maybe we try for a little while, but then we say, well, okay, this guy over here, he wants to come and understand what we're talking about. And so, okay, well, we can turn to him and say, okay, well, here's what we're discussing, and here's the points where we disagree. And if we're reasonable people, we can still do that. We can say, okay, well, this is what we disagree about. If we're unreasonable, then we're trying to make the other guy look bad. And unfortunately, most of our media and most politics is structured in such a way that people are very competitive and trying to show what's bad about the other person. But that isn't the way people act with their friends. I mean, if you have a friend and you're out for a beer and you're debating some politics and your other friend comes up, you don't start you know, lying about each other. You just say, well, this is what we're arguing about, and you just...
So this is goodness as defined as rationality.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
basic good
mm-hmm.
rationality.
Yeah.
Some kind of that. Okay. What is your experience about Wiki as a social experiment of anarchy and democracy? But I think this is implied. This is
yeah, it's sort
before.
Of implied. Yeah, the
so
yeah, yeah. I think it's mainly it's that you can trust people. You know, we mostly trust the users to come up with their own rules of conduct. I mean, there's a few very broad principles that were set down from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
About being open, being kind, and neutrality and things like that. But the real details of figuring out, okay, well, when do we have to ban someone? Because there are easy cases and there are hard cases. The easy case, somebody comes in and puts, you know, giant penis pictures on all the articles, and you just say, well, this is ridiculous, this isn't helpful, we're just blocking you from editing. Other cases, though, are, you know, somebody's doing good work, but they're kind of a jerk and difficult, and the community has to decide these things, and it's a long, slow process to figure out that. But you can trust people, and they make generally good decisions over time, and careful, thoughtful decisions, usually. So,
what are your ongoing other Wiki projects now? This work, Wiki Cities, which Wiki
So I'll just talk about a couple of these. Yeah, I think the two I'll talk about are Wiki Books. So Wiki Books is our effort to create freely licensed textbooks from all the way from kindergarten all the way through the university level. This is a really big project, much bigger than the encyclopedia, but we view it as still part of our fundamental mission, because when we say a free encyclopedia for everyone, well, you know, you give someone a free encyclopedia but they don't know how to read, it really isn't giving them anything useful. So all the materials people need to become literate should also be available under a free license. And then the other project is Wiki Cities, and this is my new for-profit company, which is ad-supported. And this is the idea to say, well, certain things like an encyclopedia need to have no advertising in them, and they need to be in a non-profit environment because that's just the nature of the work. Other things that people want to do, lots of kinds of social communities or technical discussions or things like that, people don't mind having some advertising to support it, and it's a way of getting some money, which then can then help the foundation. So we've got that going as a separate project. And in that context, people can do all kinds of different things that, you know, in Wikipedia, it wouldn't be appropriate to have a, 200 pages all in support of your favorite soccer club. But you could do that in WikiCities and say, well, I'm going to create this area about this topic that's really not an encyclopedia, because there are a lot more kinds of work that people can do besides neutral encyclopedia writing. And so the idea is let people do what they like.
It's local communities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are the coverage of these textbooks? Every discipline, natural, humanities.
Yeah, it's wide open. Yeah, it could be everything.
And which works better? Which part of the culture? I mean, natural science and technology, or humanities, or art?
I think so far it's a little early to predict which of these work better or not. There's a lot of work underway there. I think some of the problems that we have in that area is that if I say to you encyclopedia article about Budapest, right? Well, we both immediately have more or less the same idea of what that should be. It should have the history of the city, it should have some pictures, it should tell about the current government and blah blah blah. You know what should be in that article. But if I say a history book suitable for 14-year-old students. Oh, well, there's a lot of different possibilities of what could be covered, and there's a lot of selections that have to be made. Do you, usually a history curriculum follows different topics for each year at different levels, and so how do you organize that? So those are some of the challenges that we're facing, is it's a little harder to define exactly where the boundaries are and what should be covered and what shouldn't. So we'll see how it develops.
Now the last question, what is your opinion about Wired magazine, since when you are familiar with it, and are you a fan of it or not? So
yeah, I like Wired magazine. Sometimes I read it. I'm not a subscriber, but I read it. I don't have a very strong opinion. It's good. Yeah. It has a crazy layout, so I always have a hard time reading it.
Visually.
Yeah, visually it's quite strange. I think it's not as strange as it used to be. When it first started so many years ago, it was very difficult to look at because you couldn't figure out what you were looking at. Until finally, you know, somewhere in the middle of the magazine, finally you can see what's going on. But yeah, I think they do a reasonable job of covering the edge of technology and culture. So yeah, there's a new magazine I really like called Make Magazine.
Make?
Yeah, it's really cool.
Make.
And it's all about different things people make, and so it's like hacking devices and things. Yeah. So they'll
personal
have
fabrication. Maybe?
Yeah, personal fabrication, computer hacking, and, you know, things like this. Except this looks like you bought it, but you know, people are like building microphones for their iPods and things like that. And they have they recently showed how to use a kite. To use a kite, which is that you fly in the air. And you put a camera on a large kite, and then you can do aerial photography on your own. And they have like all the parts you need, a radio control flash thing, And I just thought, wow, this is really cool. It would cost a lot of money to do, but it's really cool.
The revolution of luxury.
Yeah, maybe.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And is there not good online edition of this magazine?
I'm not sure, actually. It's fairly new. So it's from O'Reilly, which is the computer book publisher. And I don't know if it's online or not. Mm-hmm. Might be. They probably have a website. I'm sure they at least have some kind of website. Yeah. So.
We've got time, but it's over. Just one more question about...
Good. Well, I think the next person thinks they're coming at 5, so...
At 5? 25?
No, at... Well, at 5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock?
That's what I thought.
The next people?
They think they're coming. I think they might be waiting.
I will want. Okay.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
We are ready.
Okay. Yeah,
thank
good.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
Mr.
yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was very nice. So, okay, good. So let's see if they have more.
Goodbye.